How you guys doing this morning? You guys look excited. It's beautiful outside. Enjoy it because the winter blast is coming. So enjoy these 40 degrees. It's like summer right now. So I'm excited to preach. I want to start by telling you guys a little story. Me and my wife, Lisa, we got married 6.5 years ago. She was here the first service. She's not here. My beautiful wife. It was an awesome wedding. We had a really great time. And we decided that we wanted to take our honeymoon. We were going to go to the Dominican Republic. My aunt and my uncle were missionaries there, so we had some connections. We knew some things about a couple resorts that were by where they lived and where they were doing their missions work. So they helped us set it up with this resort. But me and Lisa were thinking that it would be an awesome opportunity if we were able to take a little step of faith and to possibly maybe do some missions on our honeymoon to get to go to these villages, to get to go to these, to see these families, to meet these kids, and hopefully be encouraged and strengthened and all of that awesome stuff that God does. So we reached out to my aunt and my uncle, and we asked them if it would be okay, and they got back to us, and we worked it out. So they were going to allow us during our honeymoon to get to do some mission work, which we were really excited about. So we fly to the Dominican Republic. We're enjoying our honeymoon. It's an awesome resort, blue ocean water, which is not a normal thing for us to see. I want to go back. Blue ocean water is amazing. The pool, it was a great time. So the day came when we had to go with my aunt and uncle to do this missions work. So they pick us up, we get in their car, and we pull up to a red light. And we get to the red light, and all of a sudden, splat, 3 soapy sponges land on the windshield. And I could see, like, through the soap coming down, I see 3 Dominican men charging our car. They jump on the car. Their mission now is to wash our windows before the light turns green. Me and Lisa, we're freaking out in the back of this thing. Like, we just want to go do some mission work, and now we're being attacked by men with sponges in the car. No idea what's going on. My uncle floors it. He just hits, this is tip, I guess this is what they do. He floors it. The guys on the side are gone, but there's a dude on the hood of the car. In the Dominican Republic, this is like a Tom Cruise movie right here. We are in Mission Impossible. We're flying to the Dominican Republic. So I don't know what happened to that guy. He eventually was off the car. We pray that he's okay to this day. We just wanted to go on a mission trip, and we stop, and I'm like freaking out, almost had a heart attack. And my uncle's like, oh, that happens all the time. They just want to wash their windows. I'm like, and you always just floor it? You just go for it? Like, never nervous what's going to happen? But it was a crazy situation. But we made it through. We made it through the sponge attack, and the whole time I was praying, please, Lord, I don't want to be murdered by a sponge. Anything. There's got to be a different way, not the sponge, man. So we got through there. And we actually have a picture. We did some missions. We were totally blessed and encouraged and enriched. And these are some of the kids in one of the villages there and really just blessed our hearts. So all seriousness, not the sponge people. You can take the picture down. That was part of our faith journey. We were touched by God that just because we're on our honeymoon and just because we're out doing things, it doesn't mean that we shut off the opportunity to be used by God. It doesn't mean that we don't have the desire to be blessed or to be encouraged or to be strengthened. So no matter where we're at, we should always be ready to take that step of faith, put our faith into action, and to be blessed by God and to be used by God. And that's what happened on our honeymoon. It was an awesome time. So we're really excited about that. So over the last couple weeks, we were in this sermon series, The Journey of Faith, and Pastor Ryan has just brought it the last 2 weeks. Awesome sermons. Mike talked a little bit about this during the worship. 2 weeks ago, he spoke about a faith that wanders. And last week, it was a faith that suffers. And what I want to say and what Ryan was trying to say is that during those times, when we're in our suffering, we're in our wandering, that doesn't mean that you're not in line with what God is doing in your life. It doesn't mean that God doesn't have a plan for you. God has you exactly where he wants you. And what's happening in those times, in those valleys, in those storms in life, is God is strengthening you. God is encouraging you. Your faith is being stretched. Your faith is being increased. And that's what's happening when we're in those times of suffering. And it allows God to bless us. And when we get through those, man, God opens the doors for all kinds of amazing things. So this week, we're going to continue this journey. And I'm going to preach about a faith that works and what it looks like to have a faith that works. And I'm excited to preach it, and I'm excited because I know that what God has done the last 2 weeks, he's going to continue to do. And I'm praying that he would change us, that he would open our hearts, and that today we would be stretched and that we would be challenged, all good things. when God is working in your life, and that we would be encouraged, and that you guys would leave this morning just different people, excited about the things of God and what he's doing. Amen? Let's pray. God, I thank you, Lord. You are such an amazing Father. God, I thank you for the journey of faith that you bring us on. Lord, I pray this morning, God, that you would open our hearts and our minds to receive all that you have for us, God. Lord, that we wouldn't just take what you have and it would just be planted here in our seats, but we would bring it with us, God. And we would be excited to be challenged and excited to be stretched by you, knowing that you have a greater work and an amazing thing for our lives. Bless us this morning. Give you all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Turn your Bibles to James 2, 14 through 17. James 2, 14 through 17. I'm reading from the NIV. That should be what's up there too. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. There is so much in that text and in that scripture, and we could actually preach an entire sermon, maybe two sermons, just on that text alone. But all I want to do this morning is I want to draw the main point of that text for this sermon. And that is, if you want to make a difference in this world, and you want to be a person that makes a difference and see this world change and transform, then you have to get up and you have to go do something. You have to put your faith into action. Are we making a difference? Do the people in your life know that you're a Christian? Are we helping people? Are we praying for people? Are we telling people about Jesus? Are we doing the things that God has called us to do? That is taking faith action steps. So we're putting our faith into action, and that's a faith that works. We have to be willing to go do something. And that's when our journey begins, when God calls us and we take that step of faith. The truth is, there would be no wandering, and there would be no suffering and no journey if you don't put your faith into action. To go on a journey, you actually have to go. That's what a journey is. You go and you do something. You can't go on a journey if you never leave your house or you're not prepared to do the things of God. Amen? So there are so many people in the Bible that display what it looks like to have a faith that works and to put their faith into action. But this morning, we're going to look at Abraham's life. We're going to go through a little bit of his journey, some of his good things, some of his ups and downs, and the journey faith that he went on, which built his faith to a faith that works. Let's look at Genesis 12, 1 through 5. Let's hear some pages turn. Everyone has it on their cell phone? I know you do, Tony. The call of Abraham. The Lord had said to Abraham, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So Abraham went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old. Can you imagine getting called by God at 75 years old to completely change your life and where you're living? 75 years old. He took his wife Sarah, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. You see, this was the beginning of the journey for Abraham. This was the beginning. This was the first time God called him, and his response to the call was him putting his faith into action. It was packing up his entire family, packing up all his belongings, leaving a country that he knows, a place that he's comfortable with, all of this stuff behind to go on a new journey at 75 years old to start something new, new things by God, a new country, new cities, all this stuff. He put his faith into action, and he took that step. That was the response by Abraham that started his journey of faith. Amen? I think of someone in our church, Linda Pace, just put this exact thing. It's a great example of what this looks like. God went to Linda Pace and said, Linda, we need in this church something for mothers with children, for women with children. Somewhere that they can go, because sometimes it's so busy when you have kids and you can't get to the life groups maybe through the week because you have to find a babysitter for your kids and all this stuff. And God went to Linda and he said, this is a need in the church. And what did Linda do? She put her faith into action. She went and she stepped out. And she maybe wasn't sure who was going to do it at first or what it was going to look like, but she met with Pastor Ryan. And through talking with Pastor Ryan, and through God's counsel, she realized that this was a call for her. And her response started this journey faith for the women in this church. And guess what? Because she was faithful, because she took that step of faith, now we're going to have a group for women. And not just for women, so a place where they can bring their kids. And while they're receiving word of the God and people are praying for them, their children are going to be downstairs being blessed and learning about Jesus at the same exact time. Their kids are going to be fed. They're going to be well taken care of. And Linda stepped out in faith and assembled a team for this to happen. She put her faith into action. So many times in the church, I feel like that's where we miss out. There's needs in the church, and God calls you to it. And you're like, oh, that's a great idea. Let me get someone to do it for me. But when you find out that that's your call, that's where we hesitate sometimes. We get scared. And so many things don't happen in the church because we're not willing to take that step of faith. Even if it looks uncertain and it's not clear, I encourage you, when God calls you to do something, he's got your back, go for it. Take that step of faith. Put your faith in action. Amen? Sometimes in this journey, we may struggle or mess up. The ups and the downs. And during Abraham's journey, his travels led him to Egypt. And this is a situation where Abraham had a tough time. He had a few struggles that took place. And we're going to look at Genesis 12, 10 through 20. Now, there was a famine in the land, and Abraham went down to Egypt to live there for a while because the famine was severe. As he was about to enter Egypt, he said to his wife Sarah, I know what a beautiful woman you are. When the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife. Then they will kill me, but will let you live. Say you are my sister, so that I will be treated well for your sake, and my life will be spared because of you. When Abraham came to Egypt, the Egyptians saw that Sarah was a very beautiful woman. And when Pharaoh's officials saw her, they praised her to Pharaoh, and she was taken into his palace. He treated Abraham well for her sake, and Abraham acquired sheep and cattle, male and female donkeys, male and female servants, and camels. But the Lord inflicted serious diseases on Pharaoh in his household because of Abraham's wife Sarah. So Pharaoh summoned Abraham. What have you done to me? He said. Why didn't you tell me she was your wife? Why did you say she is my sister so that I took her to be my wife? Now then, here is your wife. Take her and go. Then Pharaoh gave orders about Abraham to his men, and they sent him on his way with his wife and everything he had. What a mess this was. Abraham, he's lies right off the bat. Tell him you're my sister, not you're my wife. He offers his wife up. Basically, he's okay with her committing adultery with Pharaoh to spare his own life. I mean, what a mess. That he was getting himself, it could have been a complete disaster if not for God stepping in and bringing a disease on Pharaoh and all of his house. But why God did this is what's awesome to me, is that even though Abraham was completely lying about this situation and set his wife up and set her to be with Pharaoh and made this complete mess, God remembered his promises for Abraham. And he brought those diseases to preserve the promise he had for Abraham. In all of this mess, God had Abraham's back. He had his back, and he poured out his love into him. And despite the mess and the disaster that he was about to cause, he brought a disease, and he worked it out because he had his back. I don't know, you know, maybe you just messed up last night. Maybe you've been messing up for over a week, or you're struggling in your walk with the Lord. I want to encourage you, just like Abraham, that no matter what you're facing or what you're going through, that God has your back, that God loves you, and he wants to work with you and pull you through those situations, that he still has a plan for your life. It's what we talked about in the first couple weeks. You're still in line with what God's plan is. He still has a plan for your life. Do not quit. That's the encouragement. Do not quit because times got tough. Abraham didn't quit. And just like Abraham, God's going to pull you through and he's going to have your back and he's going to bless you. God's promises are for you. And all of his promises are yes and amen. And they're there and they're in the Word of God for a reason. Hold on to those promises. Amen? Abraham in his journey continued to see God be faithful. And he continued to have his faith increased. And that's why he was able to respond the way he did in this next story. We're going to look at the last bit of scripture here, Genesis 22, 1 through 19. Abraham is tested. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham, here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you." Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey. While I and the boy go over there, we will worship, and then we will come back to you." Have the worship team come up. We're going to stop the story right there. Abraham, I want you to sacrifice your son. Abraham gets this call from God at night. So now here's Abraham. God just asks him to take his only son, the son that he loves, and the next day to go and sacrifice his son. So now he's got to sit an entire night, all through the night, pondering. What? You want me to do what? The whole night he's thinking about this. I have to sacrifice my son. The next morning, he wakes up, and the thing that impresses me about his faith is there's no argument with God here. There's no God, what are you talking about? Are you serious? This is what you do. You want me to sacrifice my only son? You sure there's got to be another way? God, I don't want to do this. That's not what he does. In fact, he just packs up his stuff. He grabs Isaac. He grabs the stuff for the sacrifice. And he goes on this journey. This journey of faith. It's a three-day journey. A three-day journey. The entire time, what's going through his mind? What's going through his heart as he's walking next to his son who is clueless at this point what's about to take place? He knows he has to sacrifice him. That's what God told him to do. And that's what he's walking to do. They continue on this journey 3 days, and they finally get to the place where God shows him, "This is where I want you to go sacrifice your son." And he says to his servants, "I want you to stay here. We're going to go worship, and then we're going to come back." So after that, he leaves the servants, and he goes a little bit further, and now Isaac is starting to get a little like, "What's going on?" And he asks his dad, he says, "Dad, I see the wood. And I see the fire, but Dad, I don't see the sacrifice." And Abraham looks in his son's eyes and he says, "God will provide a sacrifice." Abraham's faith was so strong because of his journey and all that he went through, the ups and the downs, the good times and the bad times. He never stopped going after God. He never stopped putting his faith into action that we see in these two moments that he believes that God is going to provide a sacrifice other than his son. He says to his servants, "We're going to go worship and we will be back. Me and Isaac will be back." And then he says to Isaac, when he looks in his face, "God's going to provide a sacrifice." He had this faith. He knew that God was going to come through, but that doesn't make this an easy journey when God calls you to sacrifice your son. Abraham was still a human. So he takes Isaac and they continue on and they get to the place where they have to build the altar. And now God, Abraham, takes Isaac and he lays him on the altar. What's going through Isaac's mind?
as his dad, just laid him on the altar. Isaac knows what takes place on altars. Dad, why are you putting me here? What are you doing? As he ties him up to this altar. As Abraham prepares and he reaches for his knife as his son is on the altar and he raises his arm, and Abraham's got to be thinking, oh God, please, I have faith in you. I know you're going to provide a sacrifice other than my son. But he's still willing. He's still going through with this. And just as he's coming down with the knife, the angel yells out, Abraham, Abraham, don't touch that boy. Don't touch your son. And there in the thicket was a ram. And Abraham went and he grabbed that ram. And I'm sure he untied his son so fast. And he sacrificed the ram instead of Isaac. Abraham's journey to be able to have the faith to respond to a call that asked you to sacrifice your only son. I have kids. I don't know. I don't know if I have that faith to sacrifice my son. God called me to. But Abraham was so strong. And he goes through and God provides a way out. And this is what God's response is to Abraham. I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. What a promise from God. Those same kind of promises are there for you and for me. If we just put our faith into action, that's a faith that works. It's somebody that's not willing to quit. It doesn't matter what they face. It doesn't matter how tough or challenging the call of God is. We say yes and we respond. And God blesses us because of it, even if in the midst of it, we're a train wreck. And we can't even stand because we're so weak and exhausted and tired. God picks us back up every single time. And just like he blessed Abraham, he's got a blessing and a call for your life. If you would take that action step and you put your faith this morning into action. It's the whole process. That's a faith that works. It's going through the whole process. No one ever said it was going to be easy. God said, in this world, there will be trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Let's all stand together. I'm going to pray, and Mike's just going to sing a little bit of that last song. The altar, the front here is open. Just for anyone that would want to respond for prayer, we'll have people up here praying for you. If maybe you're just on this journey of faith. Maybe you've been on the journey of faith for a while and you backed off because things got tough and you didn't push through. God still loves you. And maybe you've been on the journey for a while and you just want to be encouraged and strengthened. I encourage you to come up to the front for prayer. God wants to do something in your life this morning. That's part of that step, faith in action, is taking a step of faith to say, God, here I am, Lord. I'm all yours. I'm coming to the front for prayer because I want to give my life to you. And I don't care what it looks like. I'm going to run after you and watch what God does in your life if you make that decision. God, I thank you, Lord, that you're an amazing God, Lord. Lord, that you love us the way you do. God, I thank you for people in the Bible like Abraham that just put this display of faith in works for us to see, God. I pray this morning that you would give us an Abraham faith, Lord. That no matter what you call us to, no matter how challenging, God, that we would be willing, God. That we wouldn't let what's around us distract us. That we wouldn't let what's going on in this world, and man, it's dark. Some terrible things, God, that we wouldn't be distracted by that because we know that this world needs us, Lord. It needs to know about you. It needs to hear the gospel message. People's lives need to be transformed. God, we're the people to do it. You called us to do it when we gave our lives to you. We became your disciples, and we have an obligation to go and make a difference in this world, God. Use us this morning, Lord. Each person in this room, I pray for courage and boldness, God, that we would be raised up, God, to go after you no matter what, Lord. That we would want to see people's lives touched, transformed, and healed, and set free, God. I don't want to see people in suffering, Lord. That's not a place to be. That's a place that the enemy has put them, God. But you defeated the enemy on the cross, God. And this morning we declare your glory, God. And we pray that you bring healing to these people. And we pray, God, we bind suffering in the name of Jesus, God. You'll be glorified in this world. This is your nation. The news may say different, God, but this is your nation. Use us to show the people that, God. And in you, we can be unstoppable because the same power that raised Christ from the dead flows through us every single day. I give you all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.